It's like 2 weeks into the new year. How y'all doing with your New Year's resolutions? Okay? All right. I'm struggling with mine. I've got a fitness goal for this year. Trying to get back down to my birth weight. It's been an uphill battle, but you know, I've got your support, which is great. But yes, thank you for being here. Last week, as we started off the new year, we began a new message series. You can see some info about that message series in the back of your bulletin. The series is called Beyond Right and Wrong. And if for any reason you weren't with us last Sunday and you feel a little bit of loss today, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that message to give you some context to what we're talking about here. But to briefly recap, what we're trying to talk about in this series is, in a word, wisdom and pursuing wisdom. And we can think about all that God has commanded us to do and all that He has commanded us not to do. And we can be a little bit maybe legalistic or formulaic in the ways that we think about right and wrong. And hey, look, our invisible props are still here from last week. Remember our invisible props? We got right over here and we got wrong over here. And we can be so legalistic and we can think about all these things. And we're supposed to do the right things and we're not supposed to do the wrong things. And we can become overwhelmed by that. Or then we can kind of get too technical and say, well, I know this behavior is not technically wrong, so I can do that. But instead of thinking about things strictly as being right and wrong, what if we thought about things as being healthy or unhealthy? Beneficial or detrimental? Wise or foolish? And we look at the kind of life that God wants for us, that God wants for you. He wants us to live wisely. He's given us rules to live by. He's given us these boundaries to live within. My goodness gracious, we talk about this all the time at Hope Church, don't we? These boundaries to live within because He loves us and He wants to protect us and He wants to live in this right way. And so He gives us these rules because He wants us to live this abundant life. He wants us to make wise decisions, wise choices as we go through life. And so this is a series about pursuing that life, about wisdom. We ended last Sunday's message with a passage of Scripture. It was from the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, Solomon talks about wisdom. He personifies wisdom as a woman. Do you remember this from last Sunday? And so the Scripture talked about how wisdom calls out. She's there calling out in the marketplace, in the court there. She's calling out. She's got a voice that you can hear if you tune in. You can hear wisdom's voice if you tune in. You can know the wise thing to do. Wisdom is attainable if you seek for it. But I gave us all a warning last week. We can't underestimate our ability to cover our ears and tune out that voice, to impair our hearing. So today we're going to switch up these metaphors a little bit. I talked about that impaired hearing this week and last week. And this week I want to talk to you about impaired vision. And I'm going to start off this message with a stunt, okay? I'm going to do a little stunt for you. I know, like, you come to church, and this isn't a performance thing, but here we are in a theater, and every once in a while, I feel the need to be theatric, okay? So we're going to do a little stunt here today. This is not an illusion. This is not a magic trick. This is real. I am going to blindfold myself with this navy blue scarf that does not match my outfit at all, but we'll have to get past that. I'm going to blindfold myself with this, and then I am going to walk from this point here, and I'm going to make my way blindfolded down the steps. That's my goal, okay? To make it from point A down to point B wearing a blindfold. That's foolish. My mom said, I don't think you should do that. All right? This is not a trick. This is not an illusion. I have not even practiced this. There was no rehearsal for this. I am going to do this, and this could go terribly wrong. I could fall off the stage, I could land on the soundboard, I could land on Brindy, you know what I mean? I could knock over some stuff, this could go wrong, so I'm going to attempt this, okay? And so, as I'm doing this, I just want to apologize to all of our online listeners, all two of you. You're missing out on this, but here we go, all right? And if you want to, feel free to take pictures or video of this. Just don't put it up on YouTube, okay? This is tougher than it looks. All right. Yeah, don't put this video on. I don't want to see a video later of, like, a compilation of... All right, hang on. Here's what we got to do. I am going to do it. Let's do this a little bit differently. Let's do this Price is Right style. Have you seen the Price is Right? The Price is Right, they're all counted. Oh, higher, lower, higher, whatever. I want everybody to shout out. We're going to do audience participation. I know audience participation is lame. We'll be lame for like just a hot minute. And shout out, give me some directions, okay? I'm going to try this again and blindfold myself. Tell me where to go. Shout it out. Go ahead. Where do I go? Stop. Help me out. Stop. Left, my left, or your left? Stayed right? My left? My other left? My left. This is left, okay? Hang on. All right, this isn't working out. I'm getting too much input here, all right? Let's try this one more way. We're going to make this happen, all right? We're going to make this happen. I'm going to need a volunteer from the audience. And hey Jeff, could I borrow you? Would you mind? I'm putting Jeff on the spot. I did not ask him in advance. Let's hear it for Jeff, my lovely assistant, Jeff. Sorry, I pulled you off pop-pop duty. If you could stand right here for me, or right down there, that'd be fantastic. All right. Now, if everyone else could try and keep quiet, I'm going to ask you, Jeff, to be my eyes, okay? Could you guide me from where I am to the bottom of the steps? All right.
Now, stop.
Okay.
And come to your left.
My left. All right.
One, two, and stop.
Okay.
Now turn to your right.
Turning to my right.
Stop.
All right.
Take one small step to your left.
To my left. Okay. Got it.
Now come straight forward.
Oh, isn't this exciting? Oh, man.
Slow.
Okay.
Slow.
All right.
Close.
Oh, man. All right, I feel that there. Feel that. Okay.
Now you're right at the top. Now step.
Got it. Okay.
Move to your left just a tad bit.
So okay, how's that?
That's very good.
All right.
Other foot. Now, as okay. You go a little further down.
All right.
Down.
Okay.
Left foot. Left foot.
Does anybody want to try this after I'm done?
Down.
Okay.
Left foot.
All right.
Down. One more.
One more.
And you'll be on the floor.
Is that it? All right. Ta-da! How about a round of applause for Jeff, my lovely assistant? Woo! All right, let me be honest with you. That was scarier than I thought it was going to be, but we did it. How about that? All right, does that count? Should we just, that counts as a Sunday, right? Let's close in prayer and go home, right? What happened to church today? I don't know. All right, well, so the thing about having impaired vision, which if anybody wants to try afterwards, I probably shouldn't let you because it's dangerous. But the thing about that is you all of a sudden, you don't know where you're going. With the blindfold off, I could see clearly the right path. The right path was right in front of me. It's as clear as day. It's easy to spot. As soon as you impair that vision, it's tough to find the right path, the right way to go. The right way to walk, right? As you read through the Bible in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll read about walking along the right path or how the Lord leads us along the righteous path or to seek out the righteous path. All throughout the Scripture, we read about walking on the right path. And the idea that we get in both the Old and New Testament, the concept is there, is that there is such a thing as a righteous way to live. Whenever it talks about walking with the Lord or walking along the right path, the Bible uses that term walk. When you read the term walk, that means to do life, to live life, to walk through your life, to walk with the Lord, to walk along that righteous path. It does exist, right? Just like this path exists from point A to point B, it exists. There is a right approach to life, a beneficial approach to life, a healthy approach to life, a wise way to live. But there are also many wrong paths, foolish paths, paths that will lead you right off the stage and fall into somebody's lap. There's a lot of wrong ways to approach life, a lot of wrong ways to live life, but there is a righteous path, and we are taught to pursue that righteous path and live according to that righteous path. And so when your vision is not impaired, you can see clearly which way to go. But there are things that happen in our lives that limit our ability to see clearly. And some of them, quite frankly, are beyond our control. There are things that come in and kind of blind us to which way that we should go. Let's talk about what those things are. Take a look at that scripture passage that's in your bulletin. Just a short passage, kind of a jarring passage from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read a little bit more of that passage for you to try and make some more sense of it. Because if you read that just by itself, it's kind of saying these wonderful, nice things, and then ends with that last verse 9. It's like, whoop, what happened there? And so this is from the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet. And Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah during a time when the nation of Israel was divided. And so he had some tough work. His life was filled with hardships and adversity when he first received his call to be a prophet and speak to God's people. He was a young man. He lived a life of singleness, dedicated to the Lord. The first king that he served under, I guess you could say served under, was a good king. But after that, they were all rotten kings, not trying to follow the Lord, not trying to follow the righteous path. And so he was always up against it. But in this passage, Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah is really talking about the heart and the condition of the heart here. And so I'm going to back up a couple of verses. I'm going to start with verse 5. So I'm in Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Okay? So finding some kind of strength, finding some kind of approach to life in the mere flesh or in other people's opinions or what people have just come up with on their own, that's foolishness, and you're not going to live a fruitful life. You're not going to live a wise life. You're not going to live a blessed life like that. But then in verse 7, it makes this contrast. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when He comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. How wonderful. That's the kind of life I want to live. I want to be well connected to this stream that never runs out. I want to be well replenished. I want to bear good fruit. Even in a season of drought, I'm not worried. That's what I want to be. That's how I want to live. And then Jeremiah shifts back. It says the heart, talking about the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That verse in and of itself runs so contrary to the way that we think as a culture, to the messages that we've been receiving through our culture. What are we taught to do? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. We're told this, and even in lots of follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. How many times, I mean, we could all stand up and tell stories. How many times have you followed your heart into a dangerous place? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Now, there are a couple different ways to interpret this passage, and some people read what Jeremiah said about the heart and say, well, that was the Old Testament, and then Jesus comes into the world and He gives you a new heart, and that's all well and good, but here's the thing we know. We still live in this broken, sinful world, and we still have a heart that we can't trust. We just can't trust it. And so the heart, if I could use some more invisible props today or my invisible whiteboard today, so the heart, we'll write heart up there. The heart becomes problematic, and the heart can blind us. And there are two ways that the heart can blind us. One of the ways is through desire. Okay, we'll write the word desire right there. I like working with these invisible props. It's so much easier than trying to write stuff down. But it's desire, the heart, to think about the heart as the center of desire. And so here we are, we have a right path, we know which way we're supposed to go, we understand to some degree what God wants for us, we understand the list of rights and wrongs, we know what we are supposed to do and we aren't supposed to do, but then we have this heart that has desires, and sometimes those desires can lead us off this right path. Sometimes these desires can start to blind us. It's like, I know what God wants for me, and I know this is for my own good, and I know I'm supposed to do this, and I know it's wrong if I do that, but I want that over there. And maybe that's going to put me in a place where I'm vulnerable, or maybe this is going to put me in a place where there's danger, but this is what my heart wants. How often do we do this? I know what God has said, and I know this is the right path, and I know I'm supposed to do this thing, and I know I'm supposed to watch how I handle my relationships, and I know how I'm supposed to handle my money, but I want this over here. And so I'm going to pursue that. So that's one way that the heart can start to blind us. And see, when it comes to desire, it's like we have a role in that. It's not like, oh, my heart just wanted this, and the heart wants what the heart wants. And you can deny yourself. You realize that? Your heart doesn't have to rule over you. Your desires don't have to. You're not a slave to your desires. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. Well, the heart wants what the heart wants. So what? Don't give it what it wants all the time, right? That would be foolish. My kids, what they want? They want to eat snack food all the time. They're always in the kitchen. Somebody's always in the kitchen trying to get some snacks. I'm not going to give them what they want. I don't have to give my heart what it wants either. If my heart desires something that I know is foolish or wrong or outside of God's will, I don't have to be a slave to that desire. In fact, that's what Jesus tells his followers. Is like, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. Self-denial. All right, we don't like... That's part of the Christian experience. To know I've got a heart that's flawed, that might lead me in the wrong directions, that desires things of the flesh, and I have to deny that. And so that's one of the problems with the heart. That's one of the ways that the heart can blind you. Here's the other way. It's not just desire. It's emotion. Okay? We are emotional beings. We go through life. We experience happiness. We experience sadness. We experience pain. We experience anger. And some of these feelings, some of these emotions, if you can categorize these things as emotions, some of them can blind us, right? Pain. Pain can start to blind us and creep out of our heart and start to cover our eyes, and we're just so hurt that we can't see the way to go. Pain, and that's not your fault. You didn't pain yourself, did you? Somebody else does something to you, or you experience some kind of loss or some kind of grief or some kind of, and it just starts to compromise your ability to see clearly and make wise decisions. It does. I mean, there's this old standard piece of advice that is still given out, you know, when someone is experiencing grief or someone has lost a spouse or a loved one, what do they say? Don't make any big decisions that first year. Have you heard that? Don't make any big decisions that first year. And the reason, you know, that's a luxury that some people don't have. They got to make decisions. They got to sell a house or whatever it is. But that's the advice. Don't make any big decisions that first year. Why not? Because you're going through some emotional stuff. You're hurting. You're healing. You're in this process. And that can limit your ability to make wise, rational decisions. That's not like desire. Desire you can just say no to. Pain or sadness, they come into your life and they limit your ability to see clearly. Depression, when you're in that state of depression and whatever brought that on, if that's a physical thing, if that's an emotional thing, if that's a hurt from somebody else, whatever it is, that can impair your vision. It's not your fault, but it can impair your vision. Anger. Oh, I've been hurt, I've been wronged, I want revenge, or this isn't fair, or frustration. Those things compromise your ability to see clearly and to make good, wise, sound decisions staying on the right path. They can. I mean, how many times has this happened throughout human history? Someone in a state of anger does something completely foolish. I mean, almost every crime that's ever been committed, well, I don't know, violent crime starts with anger. Oh, blinded. What in the world? This morning I read about that. Did you ever do this with articles? You just read the headline, like, that's enough, I got it. Right? I read the headline of this article. It was about a young man, who killed his mom because his mom broke one of his game controllers. And in a state of anger, thought, well, I think the logical thing to do is murder my mom. Are you kidding me? Anger can blind us. Take us off the right path. Lead us to doing foolish things. And that's not, I mean, well, sometimes it's your fault. But sometimes it's not your fault. Somebody else does something to you and causes you that state of emotion that causes you that pain or that sadness or whatever it is. And so it almost feels kind of hopeless, right? What are we supposed to do? If all of us carry around this heart, how are we supposed to ever make wise decisions? How can we ever trust ourselves? Is this hopeless or what? Yes, it's hopeless. Let's close in prayer. How would that be? No. How are we supposed to stay on this right path if you can't trust your own heart? How are you supposed to do that? Let me give you some ideas, okay? First off, let me tell you this. Let's just address this right now, okay? Because there's this thing that we Christians do, those of us who are Christians in this room. Sometimes we hear a message like this and think, yeah, I can think of some people that applies to, but it doesn't apply to me, right? Sometimes we think that we're the exception to the rule. Guess what? Listen, you are an exceptional human being. You really are. I think you're great. But you are not the exception to this rule, all right? If you are a human being, and if you have a heart, if you've met those two requirements there, then you can be blinded by your heart, okay? That's just how it is. So how do we avoid this? Well, the same man who talked about wisdom being a, you know, calling out to us on the street, that same man, Solomon, he wrote all these Proverbs, or most of the book of Proverbs, and he gives us some insight into how we can stay on the right path. And the reality is, if you try to follow this path on your own, you will get lost. If you try to follow the right path or live in the righteous path or make wise choices all the time, if you're trying to do that all by your lonesome, I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, I'm going to be an independent person, and I don't need anybody else's help, and I know the right way to go, if you try and do that, you will fail. So what do you need? What do you need to help guide you to that right place? You need Jeff, right? I needed Jeff. I needed somebody to tell me which way to go. And I tried to have everybody shout out. I tried to get input from everybody, but that didn't work out, right? Somebody told me to stop. Somebody shouted out 100. Somebody shouted out, like, it just didn't work that way. But I know Jeff, and I trust him, so I asked for help. Ask for help, which requires humility, by the way. I can't do this on my own. I need help. Listen to what else Solomon has to say in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to rattle off a few verses for you that you can look up later if you want to. Proverbs 11:14. And we need to remember that Solomon was the king over Israel when they were the superpower of the world. Proverbs 11:14. For a lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Through many advisors. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise. What do we say about walk? That means doing life, living life. Walk with the wise and become wise. You know, live your life in community with other people who are wise, who are trying to pursue the wise life, who are followers of Christ with you, who are trying to live out what God wants, trying to live into this abundant life that Jesus has called us to. Walk with them. And you will be wise too. It'll rub right off on you too. It does. When you're in community with other wise people, and then he contrasts that with the second half of the verse, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, there's this thing that we do, and sometimes when we're trying to make these big decisions, or trying to stay on that wise path, but we got these big decisions to make, and we know if I ask for input from certain people, I know what they're going to tell me, and they're going to tell me what I'm doing is wrong, and they're going to tell me what I'm doing is foolish, so I'm not going to ask for their input. I'm going to ask for some other people's input who are going to tell me what I want to hear. I need some yes men in my life right now. That's what I need. I don't need wisdom because I know I already know what the wise thing to do is, and I don't want to do it. So give me some yes men, people who affirm the bad things that I want to do, the foolish things that I want to do. Sometimes we go seeking for input from the wrong places, from fools. And a companion of fools, someone doing life with fools or walking with fools, will suffer harm. That's Proverbs 13:20. Then in Proverbs 15:22, it says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. That's just it. That's just it. We need to ask for help. We need to have the humility to ask for help. We need to invite people into our lives, invite people into our problems, invite people into our mess, because there's so many times where we're blinded and we just need to be able to say, I'm not sure what decision I should make right now. I'm having a really tough time because I know the desires of my heart are leading me away. And I know that I'm experiencing pain. I know that I'm experiencing sadness and I'm experiencing anger. And I know those things are getting in my way of being able to make wise decisions. And so I need some help. Every time that I do premarital counseling, I talk about this concept. I talk to couples and I say, when you're having struggles as a couple, which you will, invite other people into that. And so often young couples or even older couples won't do that because they're embarrassed. I don't want people to know that our marriage isn't perfect. I don't want people to know that we had, guess what? Every couple fights. And so that's what I say to couples. I say, invite people into the mess. I mean, you've got enough nosy people in your life anywhere who are going to want to butt in with their opinion. So just give them a chance to. Just let them. But we have to be open to that. To get some counselors, to get some advice, to find some wise people and say, hey, what do you think about this situation? You know, this is a timely topic for me because over the course of the past 6 months or so, we've had some really significant big decisions to make in the life of our church. decisions concerning missions, decisions concerning ministries we're going to launch, decisions concerning finances and budget stuff, and hiring somebody else, and could we do that, and what, I mean, a lot of big decisions. And so I learned a long time ago not to make big decisions in isolation. I don't want to come up and stand before you and say, okay, I'm the pastor, I hereby decree this is what we're doing. How would that go over with y'all, right? No thanks. And so for the past 6 months, I've been asking you, and yeah, we've got formal committees. We've got a board, and we've got a missions committee, and we've got a finance committee. We've got formal committees, and I've been talking to them, but I've also been talking to a lot of you. And I've talked to you as individuals at times where I can grab you and say, hey, what do you think of this? If you've ever had one of these weird conversations with me where I just show up and ask you what you think about something, this is why, because I don't want to make big decisions in isolation. Give me some support. Give me some feedback. You know, when I first started out in ministry, I kind of did that. I was like, I'm supposed to have all the answers, so I'm not going to ask anybody. I'm just going to do this. I've learned better than that now. I need to ask for input. Get some other people who are wise to input into our lives. Listen, when we do that, plans will succeed. When we do that, we can stay. I mean, our chances of staying along the right path increase exponentially if we just let other people into our lives. Now, here's the thing. It's really tough. It's really difficult to seek out wise counsel once the blindfold is already on your eyes. That's difficult to do. It's like, here I am in a decision. I don't know what I should do, and I'm not sure who to turn to. Okay, once you're in that state where you're confused, if you don't have anybody in your life, it's difficult, right? If you don't have it, if you have not yet established some counselors, some advisors, it's difficult. And so here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Here's what I'm encouraging all of us to do. Before we end up with a blindfold on, find some people you can trust. Find some wise counselors. You know, part of my problem is when I think of a wise counselor, I imagine somebody like an ancient robe with a beard holding a scroll. Is that just me, like a wise counselor? Well, that's not how it works. You know, find some people. And the best way to do that, listen, guys, the best way to do that is just to get to know some of these people you sit with on a Sunday morning. Get to know them. Spend some time with them. Look at these small group options that we have. I know that's a whole other world. It's like, okay, it's one thing to walk into this space where I can sort of kind of be anonymous, but then to sit in a small group, listen, just do it. Walk through that threshold. Come to that Tuesday night group. Come to that men's group or that women's group. Make those connections. Get to know some of these other people. There is a whole lot of wisdom in this room. There really is. I mean, I have benefited from your collective wisdom. And so now is the time. Build those connections. Build those relationships. When trouble comes, you've got people you can turn to. This is one of the things I love about this church. We want to help you as an individual. The collective wants to help the individual. If you're hurting, if you're going through a mess, if you're going through a sin thing, if you're going through, we want to help. We want to give you counsel. We want to give you support. We want to give you advice. We want to lead you on the right path. We want to be like Jeff and say, okay, step this way, this way, this way. We want to do that. It takes humility and it takes courage to invite somebody else into your life. The thing I told you last week about wisdom is that it is attainable, but you're going to need help along the way. And the good news is you've got a church filled with people who want to help you succeed, who want to help you live wisely. Let's pray on that. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you do want us to make wise choices and to live this abundant life that you talked about. And so, Father God, I just acknowledge my own personal weakness, that I can't see clearly all the time. I know, God, that I have a heart that wants to lead me astray at times, and I know that's true for everyone in this room. And so, Father God, I thank you for surrounding me with wise counselors, for people who can give me advice and give me input. And I just pray for each person in this room that we would be willing to seek advice, that we would be willing to seek counsel, that we would open ourselves up to receiving input from the wise counselors that you have established here in this church, Lord. Father God, allow us all to live into this wise, abundant life that you have for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.